AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Arayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Okay, we'll gather round, pull up a pew, because once again, it's time for the nation's guilty secrets to be unveiled in the UK's number one podcast. In fact, Western Europe, number one, Eastern Europe, number one, around the globe. People are saying, give me more of this podcast.
Wow.
Eastern Europe, Eastern as well Europe. As Western Europe.
Yeah. And, Central Europe. Europe.
Yeah,
just Central Asia. We could probably Asia say well. Europe, couldn't we?
Yeah, we could yeah. just yeah. say Europe.
But
say
West, the Western bit.
The Western but Europe,
they
yes.
decided first.
Then Eastern Europe.
Gradually went east.
Mm.
And then it's but spread then around the globe. The
central. Right, okay.
We're up and
sense.
Coming in Asia. We're nice. Not there
I,
in Asia.
I can actually, maybe next time, I'll give you the heat map of where people do listen to us.
You
oh, don't have one.
Let's don't come to me with facts. Uh-huh. We just decided we're number one.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're not at home to Mr. Truth. Thank
no,
you.
That's true.
Sister Susie is not in the pub. She's journeyed up, mad woman that she is, into the smoke so that she can physically take control of this podcast.
Yes. Someone needed to.
Yes. Brother Matt is in the gutter, of course.
Yep.
Sister Holly is guarding her tat mm-hmm. cupboard.
Yep.
As though her life depends on it. So coming up, we're going to swing by the parish notice board, obviously. We're going to lower the lights and head into the not-for-broadcast section where Mark Knopfler resides. Mm-hmm. And as ever, the main event, this week's Confessions, lifted straight from the Drive Time Show, but with everyone's permission who works on the Drive Time Show, because that's us, including Nigel's school trip confusion, ça plan pour moi, Stephanie's birthday buffoonery, it's my party and I'll cry if I want to, Ian's confession, the race is on, brackets, and here comes pride up the backstretch, close brackets, a little elaborate maybe, but we start with Sinbad's sea cadet confession, hands across the water, hands across the sky.
Simon Mayo's confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Sinbad. Names have been changed. Father Simon, here is my confession. I've changed names and have not given the exact locations for obvious reasons, which will become clear. Back in 1984, I was 13 years old, and my family, mum, dad, and my younger sister, had just moved from the northeast of the country to a large town in the East Midlands due to my dad's company relocating. We'd moved into a new estate, which was still in the process of being completed. So all the other families were new to the area too. I was keen to make friends, as we'd moved around 200 miles from anyone I knew. My sister seemed to have no trouble making friends at all, as there were lots of girls around her age and she was very outgoing, so made new friends easily. I, however, was shy and would blush at the slightest thing, so I found it much harder to meet and make new friends. One day I was in the house and there was a knock on the door, which I answered, and it was a boy who looked to be around my age, and he stood with his hands behind his back and his chest all stuck out. I was excited. I thought maybe he lived nearby, you know, knew I lived here and was going to see if I wanted to hang out. But no, he asked if my sister was in. So I shouted up to her room for her to come down, and I stood at the door hoping for a conversation to start, which it did. However, it was all a bit strange. Instead of exchanging names and talking about stuff that boys did at that age, it was more like being with the careers advisor. He asked me what my plans were when I left school.
Wow.
Which, like most 13-year-olds, I didn't have a clue.
No.
Yeah.
Which I told him, and he began to laugh at me and started to tell me that I won't get anywhere in life. He then told me that he was in the Sea Cadets, and as soon as he was old enough, he would join the Navy and have a fantastic career. He then continued to tell me how my life would lead to nothing, and his would be fantastic.
Wow.
At last, my sister came to the door and went outside with him. I went back in the house a little shell-shocked, thinking to myself, well, what just happened there? Anyway, he obviously took a disliking to me, as every time our paths crossed, he would stand there with his hands behind his back and his chest puffed out, like they do on TV when a soldier is told to stand at ease, and continued to tell me what a loser I was and how bright his future was going to be. Maybe he was doing this to me because he wanted to impress my sister or something. Anyway, one day I was going out of the house and he was stood there and proceeded without invitation to tell me at Sea Cadets he'd been commended or something like that. And I just walked on. So this was the beginning to wear a little bit thin, to be perfectly honest, and I was wondering how or if I could stop this. And then a plan formulated. When I got home that day, I asked if I could use the typewriter. I put paper in and wound it round and began to type. I thought I'd teach him a lesson that he wouldn't forget. Once I completed the paper, I folded it and put it in an envelope with his name and address on, steamed a used stamp from a letter that we had on the side, and stuck that on the envelope so that it would look like the real thing. I then got up early that Saturday morning and posted it through his door, and went home and had a big smile on my face, thinking about my well-deserved revenge. That afternoon, there was a knock on my door, and it was him, holding the said letter, with an even bigger smile on his face. I was shocked, as I thought I'd been busted and someone had spotted me posting it through his letterbox. But he handed me the letter and said that he'd received this morning from the Admiralty in Portsmouth. And when he showed his mum and dad, they cried and told him they were so proud. At this point, my stomach turned as I thought he would fall the letter, but as soon as grown-ups would read it, they would realise that it was a fake. Anyway, although I knew what it said, I read it. The letter was presented as follows. The Admiralty, Portsmouth, England. Dear Sam, I'm writing to inform you that last week we sent talent scouts to the Northamptonshire branch of Sea Cadets. They were looking for the best of the best, and you stood out as the best Sea Cadet they had ever seen, and the cadet instructors agreed. Because of this, we'll be sending you on a six-week officer training course.
What?
Once you complete this, you will have a guaranteed position in the Navy and go straight in as a captain at the age of 16.
What?
The rest of the letter went on as follows. Once in the Navy, you will be an officer serving on the HMS Titanic under Captain Napoleon. You'll travel the world, go to lovely places like Siberia, Libya and Argentina. Back then, they're in the news a lot.
Yes.
Eventually, you'll have your own battleship. We look forward to seeing you. For further information, contact Admiral Nelson. I read it and handed it back to him and I said, well, well done, wondering how his parents couldn't see that the second half of the letter was completely joke-filled. He ignored that and with his grin started telling me once again that he was going places and how my life would be rubbish. Strangely enough, Father Simon, he never knocked on my door again. When I did see him, he never mentioned a word. I also found out that he left the Sea Cadets quite suddenly. I can only imagine the instructors' faces when he showed them the letter and he was going to be serving on the Titanic under Napoleon. I imagine this would have been talked about in the pub for years. I'm not asking for forgiveness, as he was horrible to me and all I wanted was to make a new friend. But I do ask forgiveness to his mum and dad who read the letter and believed their son would one day be the head of the Royal Navy or something like that. Well, we often get confessions where people have faked a letter or something like that, and they're usually a little bit cruel and a bit unfortunate and not very funny. But I did like the idea of the fact he's clearly made it very clear that this is not a real letter. If you're going to be serving on the Titanic under Captain Napoleon, please contact Admiral Nelson. I think all the signs are there. Sister Suze, what do you say to Sinbad?
Well, Sinbad, I do, you know, very creative. And yes, I think, you know, you made it very clear that it wasn't real with the Titanic and Napoleon. And I just feel like he sounds a bit mean. And why couldn't he just be friends with you? And who knows what they want to do at 13? Nobody. And they shouldn't have to either. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive him.
Oh, very good.
Wow.
Brother Matthew.
Well, I'm also going to forgive for very similar reasons, really. I mean, there were plenty of clues there. Clearly, Sam is a bit thick. Also, Sam's parents a bit thick. Didn't quite understand all the many clues that told them that this letter was, in fact, a fake and that their son was not being talent scouted to have his own boat by the time he was 13. Ridiculous. Yes, definitely forgiven. All aboard.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
All aboard.
All aboard because of the boat. Oh, what a reference that was. All aboard. You see, that's what they say on boats.
Wow.
I mean, it's an extraordinary talent.
Yeah, it is.
That you have.
So good.
Complete forgiveness on the people's verdict, including this one from Scott.
And Scott in Glasgow, I'd not just like to forgive Sinbad, but also have it arranged for him to have his very own ship as a reward for teaching that horrible boy a lesson in modesty and staying humble.
Very good. Thank you very much indeed for all of those. So let's shuffle across to the parish notice board, where the reviews and the comments and assorted scribbles get pinned up for all to see.
Yes, and as ever, I'm only going to be interested in five-star reviews and particularly ones that praise me to the skies. So Sarah Seahorse says, I used to listen to Confessions in the car on my morning journey to work back in the day. Yes. Since changing jobs and you having to change stations, I wasn't able to. Imagine my delight when I discovered you again, and even more so when I found your podcast. I've missed you. You're all fabulous.
Love you, Sarah.
I have now listened to them all every day, and now I've run out. I even shared with my daughter while she was in the shower. What? Hilarious. Love you all. Let's move on. P.S. One of my favourites. Moving on.
It's what you tell people to do.
P.S. One of my favourites from back in the day was a lady who had a doctor's appointment. She wanted to freshen up first, so grabbed a flannel in her bathroom without realising her daughter had been playing with glitter and it was full. The doctor was very surprised. I think I remember right.
That was a good one.
What?
That one. To be read with sensitivity, though, that one.
Okay, yeah. Yes. Well remembered. PPS, I reread this when I wasn't quite so tired and realised I'd not added my rating. My apologies, 5+. I'm so glad I found you again.
Thanks, Sarah Seahorse.
Ellery Jones says, it's back. Amazing. Absolutely love this podcast. So happy to have found it again, although a little late.
Just a little.
Flopsyhead911 says, brilliant. I have refound this, having listened to the Confessions in a previous carnation. It is as brilliant as
ever. Were you thinking I need to correct this listener's
previous
English.
incarnation. Maybe that's what Flopsyhead911 was
unless
thinking.
Unless you've got a carnation that's a little bit droopy.
Yes, you had a previous carnation that was also a...
It was a bit tired.
Yes.
And so needed to be replaced.
Okay.
A replacement carnation. Anyway, it is as brilliant as ever. Simon's excellent pitch. Matt's incisive, off-the-wall reasoning. A true gem. Thank you, Flopsyhead911. Yes.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Flopsy.
Thank you.
Susie, what have you selected? Because you're looking at the same notice board, but you find different things.
I do find different things. And I love this one from Amy, who says, Dear Simon and the team, I can't believe I haven't sent this to you before now, but you are an integral member of our family now. At the start of the summer, we bought our two girls 3 goldfish each. They named them Swim Shady.
Good.
Tina Turner.
No.
Tina Tuna.
Tina Tuna.
Shakira.
Shakira.
I get it now.
It's all got fish references.
Christina Aguilera.
Aguilera.
Finn Sharkey from Waterloo Road. And Salmon Mayo.
That's me.
Oh, right. Okay, I thought I was going a different way. Yes.
Not Salmon Rushdie.
No, that's what I was thinking. But it doesn't matter. Salmon Mayo. Yeah.
After you.
Yes.
Sadly, though, we had a fatality recently, and the girls gathered him up, led a burial, and made him a grave. It was Salmon Mayo.
Oh, no. How do you know? It could have been Finn Sharkey.
We are all grieving. Thanks for cheering us up on every day after school. From Amy and the girls, Annabelle and Elizabeth in Dorset.
And there's a photograph of the girls with their new fish. And then the grave, R.I.P. Salmon Mayo, forever missed in our hearts.
How long do they last, fish?
Goldfish.
I can't be bothered hanging around too long.
No. My parents just replaced mine constantly.
Yeah, because
they're all the
same.
I thought I had the same one that lasted for years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sadly not.
R.I.P.
Mm. Yes. Anyway,
he's lovely, though.
Who is?
Salmon Mayo.
It's just a goldfish. It just looks like all the other goldfish.
Yeah.
Looks like the goldfish you had.
Yes.
True.
I think you're being a little heartless here. Yeah, they named a goldfish after you.
Yeah. Anyway, quite right,
they should get another one and call him Salmon Mayo too.
Amy and the girls, Annabelle and Elizabeth, are amongst our favourite listeners.
Yes.
Our listeners of the week.
Very good.
Is that
yes.
a feature? We should make that a feature.
Yes.
Yeah, why not?
Very good. Our listeners of the week, Amy, Annabelle and Elizabeth in Dorset. And they win a pat on the back.
Nice.
Yes.
Anything for the tattoo?
We could give them a signed postcard and a mug. Let's do that.
A mug? Wow. Is it that easy? Goodness.
But they could hold it.
You could put a fish in that.
You could.
Maybe it won't last that very long.
If you name a pet after one of us, I feel like
Yeah.
A mug is kind of in order.
Yeah, no, that's a good
idea.
You
know, that's quite a commitment.
If I get a dog, I'm going to call it Mutt Williams.
Yes, that's good.
Oh, no.
Mutt.
Not Mutt Williams.
Is that just for a mug?
Oh, no, we should definitely do that. We should definitely. If people start naming pets after us, then yes, they get a mug.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have any control over the budget, so I'm just saying things out loud. You two, make
you
them happen.
You always say things out loud.
There's no budget. We just steal it. It's a Ken Bruce mug, which you just cross out Ken and just...
Yeah.
Oh, that's not true.
Is it not?
It's got your face on it.
Oh, dear. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk is where you send your stuff. A couple of mentions. Ryan Drews, I suppose that is. Max, Leo and Coco, Michelle, Phil G. Morgan, Sarah Gray and the great Goppo, who are amongst the people who sent in last week's podcast secret phrase, which was vigorous entertainment.
Mm.
Matt will have a whole new secret code phrase at the end of this podcast.
That gave me the ick.
Did it?
That gave me the ick, man.
Should I do it again?
Yeah.
No. Don't do it again.
Now, Sarah, we step somewhat gingerly into the filing cabinet marked Mark Knopfler for those confessions that are too rude, reckless, illegal, ridiculous to actually make it onto a proper family-based radio show. So, Lisa, your boss in the pharmacy may have been horrible and didn't say please or thank you when she asked you to make a coffee for the team. That does not make it okay, does it, for you to pick your nose and wipe it all around the rim of the cup. And for extra disgustingness, you... I can't believe you did that. Far too much bodily fluid to be read out at tea time, so Lisa, that's not going to get read out.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking, far, given that they work in a chemist, I mean, there'd be other things in the chemist you could put on the in the tea, couldn't you? But I'm glad that they didn't do that, because that wouldn't have got on either.
No.
So, you know, seems like a lot of work to go to, Lisa.
What, picking your nose and wiping it on a cup?
No, the other thing, which we're not going to get into, but that, anyway.
What? What
did you think? The thing with the, didn't she do something else with the mug? Maybe it was just me.
Anyway, Lisa.
Oh, no, I see that.
It's,
right,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you think she did with
the mug? I don't know. Anyway, moving on.
Lisa, stop it. Anyway, it's not good for you. Ed, asking for forgiveness for losing a client's dog was never going to make it onto the show. And your client did get $3,000, but that doesn't make it okay.
Because of the dog.
Because of the dog and what happened later with the dog.
Yeah, not good.
Because the dog disappeared. Maybe it's still alive. We don't know.
It is. Yes, that's right.
It could be true.
It's scarpered into the woods.
Could be living in a meadow somewhere, perhaps. But, and everyone got $3,000. So, you know.
Not everyone.
Everyone gets it. I'm pretty sure I heard that. Anyway.
Is the dog over the rainbow? Is it this discussion again?
Yeah. It's on the other side of the hill.
I definitely think
the dog's over the rainbow bridge. In the status quo classic paper plane,
yes.
$3,000 gets you a Deutsche car. There's a line that says, running in my $3,000 Deutsche car.
Deutsche car,
so back in the day, you get a whole BMW or a Mercedes for $3,000.
$3,000.
Now that's the price of a dog.
Yeah. Well, I don't believe it's the price of a dog.
It's like a pedigree dog.
It can't be. That's not right.
It is.
These people walking around with dogs aren't paying $3,000 for a
it's
dog.
It's almost as though you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I don't have a dog.
When was the last time you bought a dog?
I haven't bought any dogs.
There you go.
Because
so
I don't believe
don't
in
know.
Buying dogs, actually.
What do you do? Go
steal them.
Maybe you've got the dog.
Maybe, yeah.
Have you got the dog?
Maybe let the dogs. Anyway, whatever.
Anyway, enough of that. Back to the confessions that did make the show far more reliable. It's Nigel's school trip shenanigans, ça plan pour moi.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Nigel. Thanks, Nigel. Dear forgiving Father Simon and your studio minions of Muppetry, my confession dates back to 1968 when I was a 10-year-old pupil at St Custard's County Primary School.
Mm-hmm.
The school had arranged a week-long educational trip to Paris for 30 pupils and 3 teachers. We spent weeks preparing assiduously for this by learning off by heart the tunes and all the words of Sous le Pont d'Avignon and Frère Jacques.
Yes.
To venture into the great abroad, we had to obtain visitors' passports, which were a three-folded card document issued by the post office, who wrote your details inside in biro, glued a photo in and put an official stamp on it.
different times. Ferry tickets were booked, luggage packed. Our excitement was mounting to fever pitch as the departure date grew near. Unfortunately, as you may remember, in the early summer of 1968, there was a sudden outbreak of serious rioting in Paris, because do that kind of thing, started by students at the Sorbonne, which then spread nationwide. Us 10-year-olds thought this sounded terrifically exciting and rather exotic. We couldn't wait to see our first real-life French riot. Okay. But for some reason, our teachers didn't see it quite like that.
No.
Anyway, hasty rearrangements were made, and instead of going to Paris, they took us to Belgium. Now, I've got no doubt that Belgium is a very fine country, but much to commend it. But we were devastated that we were being deprived of experiencing our first ever riot, and we're feeling rather deflated and hard done by about the whole thing. To cheer us up, on the ferry journey over to Belgium, the senior teacher, Mr. Simmons, consoled us somewhat with stirring tales of the Battle of Waterloo, which he told us was quite close to where we'd be staying, and we'd be going there tomorrow. This poked us up considerably, and we were enthralled as he regaled us with talks of heads being blown off by cannonballs and other such events suitable for 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
However, the next morning when we arrived at Waterloo, there was nothing happening and all was quiet. We were not at all impressed, and all we saw was a mouldy old museum. The remainder of the week was taken up with visits to various not very interesting places of interest, with the penultimate day arrived. The final visit was to a champagne vineyard. If you look at the geography, that does kind of work in Belgium, because there's a big bit of champagne which sticks into Belgium.
Yeah.
So I checked that anyway. Anyway, the teacher seemed to be looking forward to it immensely. At the winery, we were subjected to a seemingly endless walk through vast cellars full of huge racks of champagne bottles, covered in thick layers of dust. We were told they were maturing. However, when our tedious bottle tour came to an end, the teachers told us that we could go and play in the site's very well-equipped playground. It was great, had climbing frames and scramble nets and a big pirate ship and everything. We were very happy. Our teachers left us to it, as they all went to a special part of the winery where they could sample some of the product. Much later, when they finally came out, they were very happy too. We went back to our hotel and prepared for the journey home. To get back into Britain, we each had to complete a customs declaration form. We were told to write down on the form anything that we had bought, which we would be taking back home with us. At some point during the week, I had spent some of my precious Belgian francs on a toy gun. It was a toy pistol which fired little plaster pellets by means of a spring which was cocked as you pulled the trigger. It was great, Father Simon. You could knock over targets with it, and a pellet would sting if it stuck you from anything about 15 feet away. I'd also bought several boxes of pellets and envisaged many happy hours of play ahead. Looking at my customs form, I wasn't quite sure what to do. "Please, sir, what should I write for this?" I asked Mr. Simmons, showing him my plastic gun and boxes of pellets. Now, possibly the champagne sampling was still having an effect, because he said, "Write down 9mm pistol and ammunition."
What?
Which I did. Next day, we returned to Britain on the ferry, and when we came to customs, I duly handed in my declaration form. The customs officer glanced at it, put it on the desk, and turned to take the form from the next pupil in line when he did a double take. He turned back to the desk. He picked up my form again, scrutinised it very carefully. He looked at me a bit sideways. He looked even harder at Mr. Simmons, who was in charge of our party and was shepherding us all through customs. The customs officer, who fortunately for Simon had a voice like Ray Winston, called to Mr. Simmons. "Or you, over here. I want a word with you." Anyway, then they went off into a side room, and all 30 pupils and two remaining teachers were left hanging about for 3 hours and 20 minutes. The teachers were worried and were whispering to each other. What could it be about? What had Mr. Simmons done wrong? Well, I had a pretty good idea, but thought I'd probably best keep quiet. Eventually, the customs man released Mr. Simmons, and we were allowed to go home without having our bags emptied or being strip searched or anything. As I think we've determined, those were very definitely different times.
Yes, they were.
The talk of the school for weeks afterwards was, what had Mr. Simmons done to upset the customs? Had he been smuggling champagne? I never mentioned my customs form to anyone, and he never said a word about it to me. So, Father Simon, I do seek forgiveness from Mr. Simmons, even though I'd only written down exactly what he told me. I seek forgiveness from the customs officers, because even though he was paid for being there, and also from my fellow pupils, who had to wait for 3 hours and 20 minutes before we could continue our journey. Yours in contrition, Nigel.
Oh, yes.
I mean, foreign trips were very, very different, obviously, back in those days.
Yeah, but I
like the idea of... basically, Mr. Simmons said, this is what to write, and then Nigel, being an obliging kind of boy, wrote precisely that. Sister Suze, what do you say to Nigel?
Well, Nigel, I don't know. It kind of got me the wrong side when he called me a Muppet at the beginning, I'll be honest. And do you know what? He didn't seem very grateful at all to be on the trip, did he? And I just didn't appreciate any. And I also, what is going on? Why is there a children's playground in a champagne vineyard?
Why do you think?
I'd like to know which one it was, because that would be good research. But I just think you should have made clear it was a toy. Should have very early on, toy, and you didn't. And I can't forgive you for that, I'm afraid.
Brother Matthew.
Wasted all that time.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I'm going to forgive. I mean, they missed out on the riots in Paris and Belgium, lovely place, but not as much fun,
and they're
really.
They're on the streets again tomorrow. I mean, they're doing
yes,
it all the time.
Yes, indeed. What did he do wrong, really? I mean, he asked, didn't he? He asked permission. What should I put on the phone? He said, put down 9mm gun and the ammunition. And so he did. And hang on, why didn't this customs officer at no point decide, well, maybe I should just have a look through the bags? Given that's what he's written down, spent 3.5 hours in there with him, didn't ask, can you open your bag? So not a lot of sympathy there. And yes, why not take a primary school on a tour of the Champagne region? That makes no sense at all. So for all those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Did you notice my Nostradamus-like predictive powers?
You did,
there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good work.
So we did that on the Tuesday, I think, and then on the Wednesday, there were indeed riots.
There were.
Although, actually, you could probably predict most days have riots
somewhere in
France.
Yes.
Because they are prone to that kind of thing back in the day. I understand. Anyway, still happens. So... no sense. A mixed reaction on the people's verdict, including this one from Kevin, who was having some issues.
Kevin says, not forgiven just because I'm bitter. He went to Belgium on a school trip. I went 20 miles up the road and spent 3 very uncivilized nights in a tent on my school trip.
That sounds like one of the worst school trips of all time.
It's not, never good fun, that.
I'd have thought. Anyway, lots of school trip confessions coming in, which is a very good thing. Still to come, a lot of work has gone into rigging some party games to avoid dirty Gertie going home with anything. That's called It's My Party. But first, Ian's confession, which is called The Race Is On, brackets, and here comes pride up the backstretch, close brackets.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
So today's tale comes from Ian. I think that's his real name. He says it's okay to share. So, all right, Ian. Simon, Matt, Susie, Holly and the team, I wish to be forgiven for the unanticipated and unfortunate repercussions of my well-intended action following a 10K running event with my wife, which we participated in some 15 years ago. I've been a keen amateur runner for most of my 63 years, participating in the Great North Run and many local charity runs from 10K to half marathons, with some good times under my belt. Whilst forever enthusiastic about running for a good cause, I am less than enthused about entry fees, which are usually quite steep. However, the particular 10K event in question promised a T-shirt of seemingly better quality than the usual offerings that you wouldn't want to get too near a naked flame with, and sported a very attractive design which had already drawn my wife's attention, so much so she had paid the entry fees for both of us quite gladly, so I was a happy lad. It's worth noting at this point that my wife is not a natural runner. By that I mean that she discovered running later in life and views it more of a necessary evil to help keep the middle-aged spread at bay. She prepares for a run the way a teenager prepares for chores, with sighs, stalling, and, sudden interest in tidying my bedroom.
Yeah.
That said, and to her credit, she seemed very motivated by the event and another opportunity to try to break the elusive one-hour time barrier, and a nice T-shirt to add to the collection, of course. On the day of the event, we arrived in good time to survey the scene, and we collected our race numbers and chips. That is the chip for timing purposes, not the chips for eating, which is not a good idea particularly.
No, don't do that.
I couldn't see my wife in the pack of around 300 runners, but I wasn't concerned, as being of different abilities, we often start at different places in the starting pack,
not least because it avoids the potential for divorce, as I'm unable to push the pace, i.e. speed up, please, if we don't run together. Off I went, chest out, legs going like bees' wings, showing these younger runners how it's done. I ran well, proud of overtaking many runners, and moved up the field. Before I knew it, the finish line was in sight. Cheered on by a small crowd, I overtook a couple of young lads of around 12 years old, and I beat them by a gnat's whisker, and in a jolly good time, I was very, very pleased. It was then that I saw my wife, and I thought, oh, has she finished already? No, of course not. She was visibly unwell. Something she'd eaten, she said, and was clearly gutted about not being able to participate after all that training. And it was then that I had an idea to cheer her up. We'd paid for entry and the lovely T-shirt, so without saying what I was going to do, I got her to rest and wait for me on the grass, and I headed off to the T-shirt and goodie bag tent. I duly handed back both our chip timers and collected not only the T-shirt, but a medal each and a goodies galore, all the things that go straight in the bin normally, like a space blanket, the latest chemical cocktail sports drink, oh, yeah, and a so-called healthy chewy bar that resembles the bottom of a birdcage. Anyway, returning to my wife, her face lit up at the T-shirt and the freebies. I was again a happy lad. A few weeks later, when I was out in the front garden, our usual courier pulled up and handed me a small package. Not having my reading glasses to hand, I took the parcel indoors for later inspection and resumed my gardening. A few hours later, I joined my wife in the kitchen and over a cuppa remembered the parcel. Now, just at this point, the phone rings, and whilst asking me what the parcel was, my wife hurries out into the hallway to answer the call because we have a landline. So these two things now happen simultaneously. Me in the kitchen, opening the package to find a very ornate, engraved silver salver. My wife had, in fact, been awarded the accolade of fastest senior woman in our recent 10K event and had come second place in the women's category overall. I was astonished. At the same time, my wife in the hallway on the phone, I could hear her saying, yes, I'd be delighted to attend a presentation event. Yes, of course I'll talk to the older women about the benefits of running. Oh, a photo magazine? Yes, of course. And then, what do you mean, fastest senior woman? That can't be right. I didn't actually run. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'll make sure this doesn't happen again. I'm so sorry. And the penny dropped for both of us. I had carried around the 10K course with me my wife's paraphernalia, which included her chip timer. Both had recorded a race time, which was my race time. The results had been published that same day on the organiser's website, and sure enough, there was my wife's name for all to see. Imagine the sensation. A newcomer, and an older one at that, beating the experienced runners. Well, we had a giggle about it at first, then my wife's conscience got the better of her. She insisted that the salver be returned, and that I should write an apology to the organisers. I did no such thing, of course.
No,
but the silver salver did go back. Most astonishingly, because of the admin or something, the organisers never republished the results, and so the whole thing stayed there forever. Anyway, so we need to seek forgiveness from the senior lady runner, who legitimately was the fastest senior woman on the day, all the lovely senior ladies who should have moved up a place in the results and whose confidence might have been unwittingly knocked, and my wife for putting her in the embarrassing situation of having to fess up to the organisers, and who's had to compete ever since under a false name for fear of being recognised. But Ian is not using a false name, he's using his actual name. Suze, what do you say to Ian?
Ian, I just think, you know, oh, how did you know? Why? I don't know why she didn't have her chip on her in the first place. Why did you have her chip in the first place? But I feel like I understand your wife. I'm not a natural runner. I wouldn't have liked it. And, you know, no harm done. I'm in a forgiving mood.
Okay.
I'll let him off.
Brother Matthew.
Yes, I'm going to forgive, because as Sue says, how do the organisers not work out that there's two chips that go around at exactly the same time? That's not going to happen. So surely it's down to the organisers there. Also, I'd have kept the silver salver. In fact, I kept everything, really. And I wouldn't have fessed up as his wife did. And I'm sure the other senior lady saw the funny side. So in the words of R.E.M., it's going out to the one I love, and I'm going to forgive.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Stephanie. Thank you, Steph. Dear Simon and the Holy Collective, I write needing to unburden myself of a sin I committed over 25 years ago, back in the middle noughties.
but which recently came back to me as Matt showed off his prowess at bingo calling.
Oh, yes.
I'm the oldest of three children and have two smaller sisters, both of whom I've always got on with really well. We're very close, despite there being 11 years between me and my youngest sister. Due to the age difference between me and my youngest sister, I was often asked to help out with family occasions, no more so than one of my sister's birthday parties. Despite being born near Christmas, my parents always wanted to hold a big party for her in the new year. And on this occasion, the party was to be held at our home and for it to be a very traditional occasion with jelly, ice cream, cake, and lots of party games. My sister and I were put in charge of the party games, so in the days after Christmas, we started to make the preparations. I apologise for the mention of Christmas already.
Yeah.
My younger sister went to a school near our home, and my parents had asked for all of the other pupils in her class to attend, so there would be about 20 girls and boys in total. The vast majority of my sister's class were wonderful children. They were polite, courteous, and they got on very well with my sister. There was, of course, one hideous brat. Let's call her Gertrude. Dirty Gertie from number 30, right. Who was very much the class bully. To all of the parents, she was just a bit boisterous, and she made a point of never misbehaving in front of the teachers or other parents. But as soon as backs were turned, she would do everything to make the other children's lives a misery. On a couple of occasions, I heard my sister complaining about Gertrude when she was particularly upset when she learned that Gertrude was to be invited to her birthday party. It's because my parents thought it would be unkind to not invite the entire class. Oh, the terrible burden of having to invite the entire class. Our preparations for the day complete. The day of the party soon arrived and the children started arriving. All was proceeding smoothly until Gertie made an appearance. She walked into our house and the atmosphere notably changed. She had the air of someone who felt as though she owned the place. She was much bigger than many of the class. She immediately started shoving her way into conversations, being careful, of course, not to upset any of the children in front of their parents, some of whom had stayed to chat to my own parents. She also made a point of scoffing the food and drink which had just been laid out despite it not being time yet. This is a
that's not on.
Bad person. Time for games soon came. Musical chairs, pass the parcel, musical statues, hide and seek, pin the tail on the donkey, and culminating in several rounds of bingo. Everyone was having a wonderful time, and all the parents thought things were going very well. However, despite her very best efforts, Gertrude seemed to just miss out on a prize every single time. And this is my confession, Father Simon. My sister and I had planned, in a military-style operation, pass the parcel, we made sure that everyone received a lollipop when they unwrapped a layer, except mysteriously Gertrude's didn't appear to have one in it. We knew which layer it was and just had to stop the music at the right time. In musical chairs, the music always seemed to stop when the other child was closest to the chair. In musical statues, Gertrude was the first one out due to my sister releasing our very excitable dog into the room by accident, right where Gertrude was standing. During hide and seek, we left Gertrude hiding despite knowing exactly where she was, so the rest of us could enjoy jelly and ice cream without her. However, our pièce de résistance came during bingo. In many ways, this was problematic because it was essentially a game of chance as to the order the balls came out in. We needed some extra special preparation for this. We handed out the cards, began drawing the numbers. All the fours.
44.
Legs.
11.
Two little ducks.
22.
So, there you go. Several children got lines quite quickly and were given bags of chocolate coins. But the prize for filling a card was a large box of chocolates and sweets. However hard she tried, Gertrude didn't seem to be able to fill her card. That's because my sister and I had rigged the cards so that certain numbers were omitted from the balls that we were calling. We were careful to ensure that those numbers were only on Gertrude's card and had to hand them out very carefully. At the end of the day, every child went home with either a small or large prize, except for Dirty Gertie from number 30. So I submit myself to your mercy, Father Simon, the collective. My youngest sister left the school a couple of years later. We never heard from Gertie again. I hope that this did not have a lasting effect on her, but I thought it was only right that she got her comeuppance. What a fine phrase that is. I don't seek Gertrude's forgiveness, but I do seek the forgiveness of my younger sister in case Gertrude turned out to be even more horrible when term started in January. I have a feeling Matt will approve of the confession, and so only hope that Susie can be lenient enough to unburden me of my misdemeanour. Now, I am thinking, just because you could hear a few noises coming from Susie, I can see Holly shaking her head next door. I feel an atmosphere of sternness coming down from Bristol.
Well, yeah, Stephanie, I understand Gertrude doesn't sound like a very nice person, but it kind of just tips over the edge into just mean to me. I just think that, you know, not going home with anything, every single thing she didn't get a prize, it's just a bit like bullying. You don't bully the bully. I just feel like it's just not very nice. Left a nasty taste in my mouth.
Really?
I'm not going to forgive you, Stephanie, okay. I'm afraid.
What do you say to Stephanie,
well,
Matthew?
Well, I mean, Gertrude was a bit of a bully. So fighting fire with fire we are there, aren't we? Because turn the tables on Dirty Gertie, which I entirely approve of. And also the amount of planning that's gone into that. With how you managed to do that with the pass the parcel. Get it to stop with her on the wrapper where you know that there's no... thingy,
yes.
lollipop. And doing it with bingo cards as well.
Ringing
that's
bingo,
ringing the bingo.
Difficult.
Dirty Gertie, that should be a bingo call. Dirty Gertie number 30. So for all those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Confess All, Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Fighting fire with fire is a stupid phrase.
Yeah, but that's literally what they do, isn't it? That's how you fight a fire, is with fire. That's how they do the fire.
No,
that
I'm
is
pretty
not,
sure that's true.
That's not the advice we're giving our listeners here.
It's water or like foam.
Yeah.
Or,
didn't I read somewhere they
or powder
fight fire
or a blanket.
With a fire?
No. What? No. So your house is burning.
It's
you think, I know, I'm going
then,
to...
Maybe not the house. Maybe if your field's on fire, is that a thing?
Yeah, so if your field's on fire, you set someone else's field on fire.
Set their field on fire and then there's... Two fields on fire.
But fighting fire with fire, makes no sense because obviously that won't help.
Right. Well, the jury's out, isn't it? On whether it helps.
The jury's not out. The jury's
it
in.
Really
on
isn't.
One hand,
a dog is expensive.
Hand,
you can't fight fire with fire.
You've got to suffocate the flame, haven't you? I mean, that's another way.
Yeah, you could throw a blanket on top, that kind of thing.
Blanket, water.
Fighting a fire with a blanket doesn't sound like an expression.
Fire. Powder.
Fire.
Fire with fire.
Fire.
It's a song, isn't it?
Fire.
Ooh.
Is it Inferno? Disco Inferno.
No,
isn't
that
it?
Doesn't say fighting
Disco
fire.
The Crazy
Disco
World
Inferno.
Of Arthur Brown is what you're thinking of.
Oh, fire, yes. I am the Lord of Hellfire. No.
Yes.
And I bring you
this
fire.
None of this is
burning down the house.
Burning down the house. With
that's
fire.
Fighting fire with fire.
Anyway, if you have actually...
Talking heads. No, ring any bells.
From a scientific point of view... If you're a fire person, a firefighter, what do you think of Matt's suggestion that fighting fire with fire actually works? Here comes the fire brigade and look, oh, they've got a flamethrower.
Yeah.
That's really helping.
I can't wait for these firefighters to email in actually and prove me right. It's going to be so good. Yeah, when everyone was against me and everyone's listening at home going, Matt's absolutely right actually, because I've heard of fighting fire with fire. So
I'd love to be in your brain.
Yes.
That you think that
the whole point
that you're that right.
I am
is that
so
fighting
right.
fire with fire is a bad thing. That someone is being really horrible and you're being really horrible back and that's a bad thing. And so fighting fire with fire is also a bad thing.
Yeah,
that's where it comes
fire
from.
Fire? No.
No.
Oh my God. You don't fight fire with fire.
Anyway. Edit. Get rid of all previous talk of fire.
Send everything that you have to confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
Yes, $3,000 for a dog. $3,000 for a dog.
If you've listened this far, you can thread me at Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads or post it to me on Blue Sky. Remember to share the podcast with a friend in the shower or a bath, but obviously with certain decorum and certain standards and no peeking. Leave us a glowing 5-star review. That'd be a nice thing. We'll be back next week with another.
I didn't make a noise there, by the way.
Anyway. Confessions. Till then, from the pub, Sister Susie says...
Bye-bye.
From the gutter, Brother Matthew says...
Bye.
And that's a little bit perfunctory.
No, it was good. It was
just
good.
You've been undermined.
I nailed it first time. Well done. One take Matt, they call me.
And from the tack cupboard, Sister Holly performs this little song.
La la la.
So moving. Thanks
tears.
For listening.
Literal tears.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
That's good, Ben. Okay.
This is great so far, but go on.
Shut up, Matt.
Yeah, shut up, Matt.